Hi, I'm Alexa. You can now hear PT Pinecast using me. Just say, hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast. Or you could be nice and try saying please for once.
What is being polite dead these days?
To hear episodes, just say, hey Alexa, launch PT Pinecast. Maybe throw in a please at the end.
You know, I think there's a little bit of guilt. People are thinking, oh, I spent all this time and money and energy getting this clinical degree. Like, I have to go into a traditional role. But really, there is so much value in taking that knowledge that you've gained in your PT education and translating it into something else. Your knowledge is never going to go away. And you can apply that in any way. You don't have to just apply it in a super traditional role.
Talking with Ellen Bunn today, a physical therapist who's also working deeply with telehealth and digital health startup programs at an organization called Physera. So continuing taking a look at PTs who are working non-clinically but still putting their PT skills to use. So take a listen to today's episode to get the inside scoop on that. It's brought to you by Owens Recovery Science, your single source if you're looking to get certified in personalized blood flow restriction rehabilitation training. Plus, they have the equipment you need to apply it. OwensRecoveryScience.com is where you can find out how you can take a course and how to get that equipment from Johnny Owens and the team at Owens Recovery Science.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours.
Welcome aboard.
This is the PT Pinecast. Here's your host, physical therapist, Jimmy McKay.
The best conversations happen at happy hour. Welcome to ours. Looking deeper into non-clinical operations within the profession of physical therapy and beyond, I want to thank Meredith Castine from the nonclinicalpt.com. She runs a group as well of people either doing non-clinical jobs within healthcare or maybe thinking about it and just how to exchange ideas and finding out about different roles that maybe you didn't know existed. We've got someone on the show right now, Ellen Bunn. Ellen, welcome to the program.
Thank you so much. Happy
Ellen,
to be here.
Non-clinical, what does that mean? What's your story? Introduce what you do to the audience real briefly.
Yeah, so I am actually in a partial clinical role. So I work as a clinical program manager for a company called Physera. We're a telehealth physical therapy company, and then we have an app-based program that guides people through animated exercise library. I do partial clinical. I still treat patients over telehealth and through our program, but I also do a number of other things within the company, managing our nationwide network of telehealth PTs as part of that and helping to build out various programs, interacting with our software team and our business development teams. And I'm wearing many hats. It is a startup.
Yeah.
We just recently closed a Series A round, so that's pretty exciting. It's a growing company, and it's really fun to be a part of a company innovating in physical therapy and
agility. I feel like you have to have a lot of agility to do stuff like that. I mean, you mentioned you still, you know, treating patients part of the time, and I'm sure that helps add to the experiences. I mean, that's why they brought you in, likely, is your clinical experience to be able to translate that.
Exactly. Yeah. So I'm there using the software alongside, you know, part of what I do is help our PTs understand our software, help, you know, kind of liaison between our network of PTs and, you know, the inner workings of the company. So it is really important that I keep my foot in the clinical door, seeing patients, using our software from the provider's standpoint, understanding what's going on in our software, how our providers are interacting with it.
Whenever I talk to someone who's in a role similar to yours, working with persons who are not healthcare providers and not patients, so I'm talking about your other coworkers who are not clinicians. Who are they? Are they IT people? Are they business people, sales people? Give me like a brief overview of what a meeting might look like in terms of who else is there when you're maybe the only clinician.
Yeah, it's really exciting. And I do love that there are so many non-clinical people in the company who are so passionate about physical therapy and really see its value. So that's one great thing that I love about my company. We were co-founded by two data science people. Our CEO has a background in product management from Google and Facebook, and he's got a PhD in statistics and is like, our company is really data driven. And then our other co-founder, similar experience. He has a PhD as well from MIT, headed the data science team at Facebook for a period of time. So they're really technical backgrounds, more software development, and really dedicated to data driven practices and data driven everything. Those are our co-founders. And then we have, you know, a number of different teams underneath them, engineers, user experience, designers, and salespeople, operations people. So those are the usual folks that I interact with. And they all really get it too. They all really see the value in physical therapy as it pertains to a number of different things, and really exciting to be a part of that.
Yeah, sounds
environment.
It sounds it. What's I know each day is probably a little bit different for you. That's probably part of the draw, which is you know, you're seeing patients one day and then you're in a, you know, user experience meeting the next. What's the reason you jumped and did something like that to kind of broaden your horizons? What was the driving force?
Yeah, I'm someone that really likes to change things up a lot. I like that. I like to be constantly challenging myself. So this environment is really good for me to break things up so that I don't feel like, you know, I'm doing the same thing over and over again. And the startup environment is great for that. And it's also really a fun environment to problem solve, because every day there's new problems to be solved. Not that the business has problems, but that there's new creative ways that we can think about things. And I love that. Actually, my DPT curriculum was a PBL, problem-based learning curriculum, which I think really helped to translate in this role, because our curriculum was not one of like teacher standing up there and lecturing to you nonstop. We had components of that, but our PBL curriculum was very much like, here is the case, what would you do? And you as a student go to various resources and have a rich discussion about what you would do. And I feel like that skill set has really well prepared me for this startup environment, because it's all like, here's this new problem that no one ever probably has encountered before. So how are we going to solve it as a team?
That's fun.
It's exciting. Yeah, for sure.
Tell me about a time when you were in a meeting and you got to be the voice of the PT, because I imagine that's got to be fun. Is that the people in the room? You mentioned they get it, and I believe that they do. But tell me about a situation where you got to put your PT hat on and tell and explain or educate some people into why what they were seeing might not be what a clinician would be seeing.
Yeah, and it happens all the time, which is good that we have, because everyone sort of wears their hats. And you know, we have our salespeople saying like, hey, this is how we're going to drive a deal forward. We have our, you know, operations people saying, hey, here's what's going to be good for our overall business health. We have our software saying like, hey, here's what's feasible given our current technology, or how we can modify it to fit these particular requests. And then myself and my boss, Todd Norwood, we're often the ones kind of saying like, hey, like, let's really think about how this is going to impact the patient and what feels right for us as clinicians, and what feels right for us is keeping our sole focus on providing the best patient care possible. And if it means we need to encourage the software to make something easier for our clinicians, or if it means we need to, you know, convince the team as a whole why something is really important to us as clinicians, then we will absolutely do that. And, you know, sometimes it's advocating for clinicians as well and saying, hey, here's what's within their boundaries. Here's what's within our clinician scope. We can't ask our clinicians to do X, Y, or Z because of these various reasons. You know, it happens quite often, actually.
Yeah, I bet you it makes for a pretty fun work day.
It sure does. Absolutely.
This is the PT Pinecast.
Want to thank Brooks Rehabilitation, their Institute of Higher Learning, for sponsoring the show. Residency and fellowship opportunities is what they offer. Check them out at brooksihl.org. Also, hosting their fourth annual scholarly symposium that's going on June 22nd in Jacksonville, Florida. Information about the symposium can be found at brooksihl.org. Keynote presentation this year by the editor of PTJ, Alan Jetty. I'll be on hand doing some talks and some live podcasting. Looking for CEUs and to expand your knowledge base? Look no further than brooksihl.org.
And we're back.
Let's get back to the show.
What are some things that you see on the horizon in terms of, let's get real specific, because the industry that you're in terms of telehealth, man, if there's a bigger buzzword in healthcare, I'm not sure what it is. What's on the horizon, you know, short term, maybe long term? What do you see as a clinician who's pretty much neck deep in it?
I think it's going to reinvent everything. So much more convenience, you know, and I hear it from so many different stakeholders in the industry, and most importantly, the patients who are like, I need something more convenient. Like, it is not convenient for me to wait several weeks to get a PT evaluation and then to take all of this time off from work multiple times a week to travel to this clinic and go and get care sometimes, not to bash any of my PT colleagues, but some, you know, it's often you get into like a routine in PT, and that routine, yes, you have progressions, and yes, there are valuable interventions that happen, but much of it becomes like, here are your exercises, let's do them together, and then you know, you have a couple of other interventions. But I feel like that piece of here are your exercises could easily be done at home on your own time. And two, with the convenience factor of getting a initial evaluation sooner, that's sometimes the hardest part, is people have to wait weeks. I know, and I live in the Boston area, and sometimes patients have to wait a really long time before they can actually get in front of a PT.
It's whoever's going to solve the person's problem on the other end better, smoother, faster, with a better user experience. I mean, these are all business or IT words that I'm using, but they need to be more healthcare words. I mean, they are, but whatever healthcare organization, whatever programs that are designed that can use those words better, is going to succeed, period.
Absolutely.
Ellen, what's the thing that you'd say to someone who's thinking about either full-time or like yourself, kind of a hybrid, doing a non-clinical PT position? What words of advice would you give them if they're thinking about it?
I would say if it seems like it's good for you, then just go for it. You know, there's nothing, your PT license is always there for you. Like, you know, maybe don't let your license lapse right away. Keep it active, and, you know, it's always there for you to go back to it if you're in a very traditional role. So there's nothing to lose by just giving it a shot and giving something a try, seeing if it's a good fit for you. And maybe it won't even be that first experience that you have either. You know, you might have to do some like switching things around before you find a good non-clinical role. But if that's what you're interested in, just go for it.
Yeah. I was at a conference with students in North Carolina this past weekend, and I remember one of them was talking about doing something slightly non-clinical, and I don't know about jumping, and this is a student. I said, listen, your backup plan is to be a physical therapist. Like, and even their idea for something to do differently was still physical therapy related. But I said, listen, if it doesn't work, what's the worst thing that could happen? And they literally paused and said, well, I guess I would just change and go to what my original plan A was. I said, so your backup plan is to be a treating physical therapist. I think you'll be okay. Yeah. That license. But yes. Something basic is don't let your license lapse. Ellen, are you ready for three questions?
I suppose.
On the hot seat with three questions on the PT Pinecast.
Didn't prep you for this one, but it's brought to you by our friends from Aureus Medical Staffing. They find physical therapist jobs doing what they want to do, where they want to do it. Positions in all 50 states is what you can find from them. Alaska, Hawaii, yes. You're up in the Boston area. They got stuff there as well. If you were given a free ticket anywhere, you could go do any type of PT anywhere you wanted to do it in the 50 U.S. states, where's somewhere within the country you'd want to go and check it out?
Well, I'm going to put on my telehealth hat here and say I would move to a state in the compact, in the PT licensing compact. Massachusetts just put forth a bill to join the compact, but that process will take a while. I think the opportunities to get interstate licensure is huge. I do also love Massachusetts has unlimited direct access, which is really helpful in a telehealth setting where we are often seeing patients as soon as we can to prevent that delay in getting an initial evaluation. So those states that have good direct access laws and are part of the compact would be my top states.
All right. Sounds good. And you mentioned the Interstate Licensure Compact and moving licenses from state to state and CEUs and taxes when you move in different states. Aureus has people who can walk you through all those things. So if those are your barriers, and there might be a few more from trying travel PT, Aureus can walk you through it. Super simple, but doing it for more than two decades. Check them out online at AureusMedical.com. Second question is, what's something you've read or listened to or a movie that you've watched that is inspired you? What's something that's really made an impact recently?
Ooh, that's a good one. So there was a study I read that I want to reference.
Okay.
I don't even know how to say the author's last name. It's like Kalau Kalani or something. It's a Hawaiian last name. And the study was on looking at the effectiveness of either massage or acupuncture and correlating it with what the patient believed would work. So if the patient came in and said, I believe massage will work, then they were then randomly assigned into either a treatment group of massage or acupuncture. So essentially what the study showed is that if you believed the intervention would work, it would work. So people who had strong beliefs that, like, know what, nothing's going to fix me except acupuncture. Acupuncture worked really well for those people. It didn't work so well for those people who were like, I don't believe acupuncture works. It didn't work for them. Versus like the people who came in and were like, oh, massage works. I know massage is what's going to fix me. For those people that came in with that belief, massage worked for them. So it really makes you think. Like, I ask my patients, like, what do you think will help you? What do you think is going to make you better? And I'll talk to my patients about that openly. And I think that that's really changed the way I treat and the way I, like, am as a patient too, right? Like, I have to keep an open mind to different interventions or just thinking about that belief, how that belief system plays into
the power of belief, really.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Third and
one
final.
Of my favorite studies.
Yeah, no, that's big. I mean, the power of belief, if you go into that, if you could ask that question early, you know, your patient is going to tell you a lot, right?
Yeah.
Third and final question. Who is someone the audience should know more about? Can be inside the PT profession or without. Doesn't matter. Maybe just someone who's doing great work.
I'm going to give a shout out to Rob Vining, who's running things over at the telehealth Facebook group. And he's been really doing so much to advance telehealth in physical therapy. So a shout out to Rob.
Yeah, Rob's got it down. He's been talking about telehealth and the integration for a while. I remember I was still a student when I ran into Rob.
Yeah, he's at the forefront, and really he's just doing so much to advance it, like giving out so much free content for everyone to learn more, spending so much time answering everyone's questions in the Facebook group that we have, the Telehealth PT Providers Facebook group. And I just think that's mad props to Rob for spending all the time to do that.
Big value. All right, you're off the hot seat. That's three questions. Well done.
Okay, thank you.
Last thing we do on the show is called your parting shot.
This is The Parting Shot.
The Parting Shot is brought to you by Rock Tape. More than just a tape company, Rock Tape is a movement company, tools and education for medical professionals. If you're looking to help your patients go stronger longer, check out rocktape.com.
So it's your last sentiment, the last thing the audience is going to be able to hear from you. As somebody who has a hybrid role between clinical and non-clinical, you know, what's something that you'd want to tell people who are maybe thinking about going that route? Maybe some advice.
You know, I think there's a little bit of like maybe shame or like guilt. Like people are thinking, oh, I spent all this time and money and energy getting this clinical degree. Like I have to go into a traditional role. But really, there is so much value in taking that knowledge that you've gained in your PT education and translating it into something else. You know, and particularly like I think of my role at Physera, and I've been actively building these programs and like building our exercise library. And this is something so much more scalable. So, you know, it's like, yes, I'm not there with my hands on a patient 8 hours a day, but I am doing something that's going to create a scalable impact on a number of patients, much larger than I could as just an individual clinician, you know, treating one-on-one. So your knowledge is never going to go away. It's an amazing thing. PT school was a great experience. You learn so much, and you can apply that in any way. You don't have to just apply it in a super traditional role.
Yeah, I love that. Great advice from Ellen. If someone wanted to contact you, website for where you work or email address, or give us both of those.
Sure. You could check out Physera.com if you wanted to check out my company. You can email me, ellen@physera.com. It's Physera. Those are two great ways. You can also find me on LinkedIn, just like Ellen Bunn, PT.
Ellen, appreciate your time and insight in both, you know, a hybrid non-clinical clinical role and also some telehealth, which we know is going to be big in the future. So thanks for taking some time out to talk with us.
My pleasure. Thank you so much.
The PT Pinecast is a product of PT Pinecast LLC. It is hosted and produced by PT Pinecast CEO Jim McKay and CBO Sky Donovan from Marymount University. We talk PT, drink beer, and record it. This has been another pour from the PT Pinecast. The PT Pinecast is intended for educational purposes only. No clinical decision-making should be based solely on one source. While care is taken to ensure accuracy, factual errors can be present. More on the show at ptpinecast.com.
Our home on the internet.
ptpinecast.com.
Created by BuildPT. BuildPT provides marketing services specifically for private practice PTs.
From website development and hosting
to providing content marketing solutions
for PT clinics across the country.
See what BuildPT can do for you today
at buildpt.com.
Establishing permanent access to orthopedic rehabilitative services in the country of Haiti through direct patient care and clinical training of its citizens. That is what Stand the Haiti Project is. Find out how you can help at standhaitiproject.org.